listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Hanning, the chairman and president of Novo Resources. Thanks for joining me again, Quentin.
Thank you, Dave.
I know getting to your project in Western Australia, I know there were weather-related delays in receiving bulk samples, and it kind of drove a lot of investors crazy because they've been anxiously waiting with bated breath to find out what your next samples would be. And you've had those issues, but finally the initial batch of assays did come back last Friday. And from what I can see, they were very good compared, and actually compare very favorably to any surface mineable gold resource that I've seen coming into the picture recently. Values up to 10.4 grams per ton were recovered. You reported on both an upper and a lower conglomerate levels there at Comet Well. And I also noted, Quentin, I don't know how many people paid attention, but you were getting very high recoveries as well from gravity, and so suggesting that maybe the metallurgy should be fairly simple. Can you comment on what you have learned so far from Comet Well, and to the extent possible at this early stage, provide an idea of potential economics of a deposit like this?
Sure thing, Jay. Look, Comet Well is an interesting project. It's probably the most challenging project I've ever worked on. The nuggety gold and the nature of this deposit is quite a bit different than people are used to. But nonetheless, we've got bulk sample results now that give us an indicative picture of where things are headed or what we're actually seeing in the ground. As you said, the grades that we've got back from the two different horizons, the upper Cannonball conglomerate and the lower Cannonball conglomerate, have returned what are very respectable grades for, say, a near-surface deposit. This is exciting news. It's been a long, hard journey to get here, but now we can say something, somewhat intelligent about the property and its potential. Your comment about gravity recovery is accurate. We do see potential. Obviously it's nuggety, and the data that we returned in the news release talks about that and talks about what kind of percents of coarse gold or gravity recoverable gold we might see from this. Very encouraging. There's also optionality with looking at things like ore sorting and things like this. So we're very excited in general. I know you got a lot of questions, so I'll try to keep my answers reasonably brief.
Yeah, well, of course, as the project progresses, we'll get the details. We'll learn to know about the ability to reduce energy costs by sorting and so on and so forth. These are the pleasures of watching projects grow for sure. But we want to stay focused on the economics. Now, you recently did an interview, I think it was last week with Corey Fleck. And you made some comparisons with the famous Witwaters Rand deposit. And I know that your theory has taken you to Western Australia because you thought this could be the place where there could be another Witwaters Rand type of deposit or something similar to it. Witwaters Rand is the largest, I think, most significant gold deposit ever found in the history of man. So this is no small issue if you're right. And I think if I heard you correctly, Quentin, what you told Corey last week, that early stages, and again, I would underline the idea that it's early stages, that your bulk samples are showing the sort of thickness and grades that make it comparable to what they mined at the Wits. Do I have that right?
Yeah, let me give you a little detail. I did talk about this in a recent interview with Corey Fleck last Friday. I'll kind of go over the same assumptions that I used in that interview. What we find at Comet Well is that we have roughly 3 meters in aggregate of grades in the neighborhood of about 2.5 or 3 grams. Now, if you use a density of 2.85 tons per cubic meter and, to start calculating the gold endowment, say, for 1 square kilometer, you get somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 tons. That's remarkably similar to the gold endowment seen in conglomerates of the vits. We're talking about very different conglomerates. In the vits, we have pebble conglomerates. The gold is much finer. You know, a lot of differences that I've talked about in news releases gone past. But in the vits in general, they mine at about 1.1 meter thickness, regardless of the thickness of the reef. So the stopes are 1.1 meter. We'll call it a density of 2 point. It's mostly quartz. And the grades are roughly, you know, say 7 grams. Even that might be a bit generous these days. But over a square kilometer, the vits, vits type deposit of those numbers that I've just presented would yield, again, about 20 to 25 tons of gold. So remarkably, the endowment on a square kilometer basis, at least, is quite similar.
Okay. So helping some of us that are mathematically challenged into ounces per ton or ounces per square kilometer.
Roughly translated, we're talking around 700,000 ounces per square kilometer on using those assumptions.
All right. When I looked at the grades and thickness that you're talking about, I mean, and these kind of numbers, I'm kind of at a loss, Quentin, to understand why the market sold off on that news. Do you have any thoughts about that?
You know, I would say that there were expectations that we would have, 10 gram plus material consistently through these horizons. I think the sell-off probably reflects some people's view that's what they expected and that they're not willing to stick with the story. But, you know, surprisingly, the shares did not sell off, much past, say, the first, I didn't keep track of it in real time, but say after an hour or so, they settled down quite dramatically, and you know, people digested the news. In fact, I would consider the results of trading on Friday as a vote of confidence in the numbers that we presented.
Quinn, I'd like to switch gears a little bit to your press release that you sent out before the market opened today, having to do with Egina. That's an area where you've recently picked up some gold bearing conglomerate reefs. Some 120 kilometers east of your Karratha gold project that we were just talking about. You made a remark on your interview with Corey Fleck last Friday that as good as Comet Well is, if the Egina project had been available to you, you would have likely had started there first because it's even better. Can you tell our listeners what has you so excited about Egina?
Yes, Jay, I said that, and in actuality, it's true. Like I wasn't joking around. Egina has been on our radar roughly the same time as Comet Well. We learned about the gold and the similarities of the gold that's seen at Egina, similarities to that seen at Comet Well way back in around June of 2017. We also recognized that it might be coming from conglomerates. In other words, prospectors were finding gold and they were showing it to us and saying, hey, if you think Comet Well's good, you should look at this. We did stake some tenements out there last year, some exploration licenses, and then we struck an option arrangement with Farno McMahon, a private company operating in the area, and we watched Farno do the company do some mining. Remarkably, what we saw, the gold that they produced, it looks very similar. I talked about it in the news release today, very similar to the gold from Comet Well. We found lots of boulders of conglomerate. This is weathered conglomerate that's washed down into the terrace flats. And the boulders of conglomerate look for all the world like the conglomerate at Comet Well. So our logical conclusion is the gold at Egina is derived from weathering and erosion of Fortescue-type conglomerates.
So are we talking about the same kind of sampling challenges, Quentin, at Egina as we had at Comet Well?
At Egina, what's really exciting is that the gold we see is derived from these conglomerates. But what we're focused on at Egina in the short term are the lag deposits at surface. These are unconsolidated gravels that contain what looks like a considerable amount of gold that's been washed out of the conglomerates over time. So these are gravels that sit right at surface. What's really exciting is it means we can get out there, we can dig dirt, we can actually evaluate the grades and the recoverability and other aspects of the gold, with conventional equipment. It doesn't require collecting bulk samples and sending them to a lab. Okay, so this is very exciting for us. I outlined plans of what we plan to do at Egina over the short term, and then ultimately we can see moving it towards a bulk mining, or excuse me, a bulk sampling, I must say, scenario very quickly. It's a granted mining lease. It is in the Aboriginal Reserve. We've got to be cognizant of that. We want to build a good working relationship with the Aboriginal community in the area. But we do have mining license, which allows us to go out and do some of the hard yards in a very short time frame.
Mm-hmm. So the mining permits, that was a big plus for you then, the mining leases, I guess you call them. What is your next step then, Egina? Will you be providing some assays, do you think, in the near future, or what can we look forward to as investors from Egina?
Okay, the way the data will be presented from Egina, there's two types of gold. There's coarse nuggets, which have traditionally been found using metal detectors. Our plan is to not go out and systematically trench and look for nuggets with metal detectors. Okay, what we're most interested in initially is evaluating the fine gold component. Okay, there's fine gold in these gravel deposits just as there is coarse gold. All right, so our goal will be to evaluate the fine grain gold, see what kind of gold levels we have in these gravels, and then we'll have to bulk sample or bulk mine it next year to evaluate the overall grade, you know, including the coarse gold component. But I would say the initial data that we get around the fine gold in these gravels will be very interesting, very exciting. We already, as I said in the news release today, we've already seen significant fine grain gold in these gravels, and I feel that bodes well for there being a good representation of gold at that level.
So the fine gold is something that you didn't have over at Comet Well, very much of it anyway, except for some a little bit of it around the nuggets. So what you're saying is it may be potentially less challenging in some ways to start to accumulate or to assess a resource potentially.
Yes, both the fine gold and the fact that this is free digging material and at surface. Okay, we're not talking about hard rock. We're talking about material you can go out and excavate, you know, with a small excavator. We don't have to do a lot of the really complicated technical work to get answers.
Since you woke the world up to the Witwaters Rand-like potential of Western Australia, there have been a lot of companies staking ground around there. And are there any other companies that might have any geological advantage over what you've? I mean, you were the first one out there. You were the person, Quentin, as far as I know, the only person that came out with this idea of the origin of gold mineralization. I mean, we're talking 120 kilometers to the east. Are we talking about generally the same event that took place, the precipitation event, as you talked about on the show many times before? Do you see this whole basin, this huge basin, as being pretty much the same? I mean, that's really simplifying it. I realize you said there's three different kinds of gold mineralization at this deposit, but is this... This is a huge system, I think, we're looking at, right? Absolutely enormous.
That is correct. And, you know, in space, it is a very large system. The Pilbara Craton, 600 kilometers across, is blanketed by the Fortescue Group. And many, many gold occurrences have been found straight away across the whole Craton, this old piece of crust. Okay, so at Comet Well, we've explored the basal conglomerates. Those basal conglomerates are remarkably present at Egina. That's what's kicking off the gold. It's effectively the same conglomerate package. Now think about that for a minute. 120 kilometers away, and we have the same conglomerate package, same age.
Wow.
And it's yielding similar gold nuggets to those at Comet Well. Now, I want to be very cautious here, because I know some people have jumped up and, you can start multiplying, you get billions of ounces and this and that. Look, I want to be very, tone down things, okay? I think people need to understand is that these deposits are large, but we've got to evaluate them using proper science to figure out what economic gold there is in this system. Okay, it is a big one. We got a big one, but we need to do good work to show its potential.
Quentin, we're just about out of time here, but how well funded are you to carry on, and when might we see some more results actually going back to Comet Well? Are we likely to see some more bulk sample assays anytime soon from Comet Well and from that area over to the west, or to the west?
Okay. The two questions. First of all, cash position, we have somewhere just under $60 million at present, so we're in very good shape to advance things. Secondly, as far as further results, what we're doing right now is evaluating the data that we've come back, that's come back from Comet Well. We're looking at the requirements to get this mineralization report developed and delivered. And then we're also evaluating, you know, internally in the company at a board level, how much more data and expense and time we need to spend there. Now, I don't have a firm answer for you right now, but we do feel the answers that we got from the bulk sampling give us a reasonable indicative grade that can be used to justify, trial mining and a mineralization report to claim a mining lease at Comet Well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, it seems to me that notwithstanding the share price, which is down a lot from where it was last year when I spoke to you, that things are really moving along. Perhaps expectations were a little bit over-inflated based on some early assays. But all I can say is that, you know, as a person who looks at a lot of gold projects, I don't know of too many open pit or surface mineable projects that have grades that are superior to what you're looking at here and with apparently easy metallurgy. Any comments on that?
I think in general the conglomerates of the Pilbara, they tend to be coarse grain, tend to have, you know, they're a real headbang when it comes to figuring out grade and things like this.
Right.
Boy, I'll
tell
you, when it comes to potential economics of recovery and things like that, these could be very, very favorable. A lot of coarse gold means a lot of gravity recovery. That can, you know, that can make a project very high margin, potentially.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Quentin, for updating us on this. We'll certainly be keeping track of what you're doing down under with your project, and always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us today. All right,
thank
folks, well, don't go away. We're going to go to commercial break, but Doug Noland of the McIlvaney Tactical Short Fund will be with us to tell us how he's positioning the fund to weather the financial storms that apparently are lying ahead of us. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Doug Noland.
Triumph Gold holds a 100% interest in the district-scale Free Gold Mountain gold-copper project in Yukon, with a government-maintained road accessing their 200-square-kilometer property.
The 2018 drill program has resulted in exciting discoveries to date, hitting the richest intersection ever in a porphyry system in Yukon. The company is well-funded and has a large institutional holding, including Goldcorp and Zijin Mining. Triumph trades on the TSX Venture under the symbol TIG and the OTC markets TIGCF. The website is triumphgoldcorp.com.
Gold Mining Inc., ticker symbol GOLD on the TSX and GLDLF on the OTC, is the biggest bet for gold investors and legendary investors like Doug Casey, Rick Rule, and Marin Katusa, who put millions of dollars into backing the company, along with institutional investors. The insiders own over 20%. Gold Mining has strong cash and no debt. It's one of the top 1% of gold companies that has over 20 million ounces of gold resources. Visit goldmining.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.